On today's show, we'll discuss Jalen Green joining Bill Simmons on the BS podcast to discuss the all-rookie beef, to discuss what he's learned from his rookie campaign, his backstory, his upbringing, who his influences were, a bunch of different topics that they covered. We'll talk about that, and then we'll get into the season reviews for both Usman Garuba as well as Bruno Fernando coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube, go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. The comments help out a ton. Like, if you go comment on YouTube, I will love you forever. Now, topics for today's show. We're going to discuss Jalen Green and his semi-surprising appearance on the Bill Simmons podcast, joining his bestie, Bill Simmons, to squash their all-rookie beef, to discuss a variety of different topics that we'll get into, kind of what Jalen Green's been working on this offseason, his goals for next season, and a lot of stuff in between those two things. Credit where credit's due. It was actually a really solid interview with Bill Simmons. If you haven't checked out the podcast yet, I actually do recommend it. I think it starts, Jalen's on at about the 43-minute mark. So if you don't want to have to listen to whatever is going on in the first half of that podcast, just jump to 43 minutes. You can listen to it on Spotify. I think it's only on Spotify. It might be on YouTube as well. But I listened to it on Spotify. And again, credit where credit's due. It was a really quality interview from Bill Simmons with Jalen Green. That said, I still think that Bill Simmons was way out of pocket by dropping an F-bomb in relation to a player as a media vote getter. That doesn't change my opinion about how he handled that whole situation. The interview with Jalen was pretty solid, though. We'll do that. We're going to share, you know, thoughts, ideas, opinions about that. And then we'll get into season reviews for Usman Garuba as well as Bruno Fernando in the back half of this episode. But let's start with the topics that kind of stood out, and we'll just kind of parse through what, you know, kind of the interview at hand here between Bill Simmons and Jalen Green, some of the points that Jalen shared. And we'll just kind of start at the very beginning, which is just that Jalen really felt that scoring 32 points against the Lakers in that March overtime victory was what kind of started his trend upward and kind of gave him the confidence to end the season on such a high note. Having that game where he was able to really, like, you know, take control of the game. He had the 10 straight points in overtime. All of that was kind of one of the probably the most important game, he said, for, you know, for his, you know, development for his rookie season. He goes on to compare and say that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant were the biggest influences on him, you know, early in his career, that Green started watching Kobe Bryant videos in high school and used them as a source of inspiration, kind of looking at the way that MJ and Kobe utilized the post in their respective games. And he even did go on to say a little bit later on that he has a variety of post moves that he hasn't been able to really get to yet, unfortunately, because he's waiting to get a little bit stronger. That in high school, he kind of, you know, developed some post-game moves by looking at guys like Jordan, like Kobe. He even mentioned Hakeem Olajuwon quite a bit as somebody that he studied as far as how they operated in the post, their footwork, how they got to their spots. And he just hasn't been able to implement any of it yet because he's waiting to get a little bit stronger. Talked about the fact that he's had some opportunities to hit some, like, turnaround fadeaways, like on drives and whatnot, but he hasn't really, like, worked out of the post yet. And he and Bill actually continue to discuss the fact that guys like Kobe and Jordan, over time, right, they came into the league and they had that, like, you know, kind of more sleek build, you know, and then added the muscle to their frame as their careers went on. And specifically in Kobe Bryant's case, Kobe and Jalen shared a very similar physique coming into the NBA. And that as the years went on, Kobe started to add that muscle to his frame. And then somewhere around like the mid 2000s, you really saw Kobe like add that next layer to his game, where then he was posting up guys on the regular. He was operating on the low block, high post, whatever, getting to those easy turnaround, you know, fadeaway jumpers, rather than having to be, you know, have everything be operating downhill and driving to the basket. He was able to kind of really diversify his game. And so they talked about that Jalen already has kind of the baseline that he's worked on the skills to be able to utilize, you know, when he gets to that point, but he just needs his body to catch up, to add the muscle, to add the size, to really be able to go down low and post up, you know, opposing players and get to that repertoire, that arsenal of weapons that he has operating, you know, out of the post. So Jalen talked about what he was working on mostly this summer. He said he's keeping his hand, he's working on trying to keep his handle tight, getting better at catch and shoot threes, making reads off the pick and roll, next level type things like the corner pass when the low man helps. Main goal right now is just trying to get stronger. Sounds like there's an immense amount of focus being placed on Jalen Green and his just overall, like, you know, physicality, conditioning, getting to the point where his body is going to be, you know, at its absolute peak for next season, which is why he and so many of the other guys are in Houston working out right now, trying to get better ahead of next season. And Jalen went on to joke about the fact that like protein shakes are a big part of his diet right now, trying to put on some mass. They go back and forth a little bit talking about the fact that, you know, you don't want to put it, if you're Jalen, right, you don't want to put on too much muscle too quickly, right? Because you want to still have the bounce, the explosiveness. You want to still be able to be, you know, have that lethal downhill driving presence, and you don't want to put on too much strength too quickly. Shout out, unfortunately, to, you know, Rockets legend Tracy McGrady, who basically had that exact same thing happen to him, where he put on a lot of mass, like he put on a lot of muscle, especially in his upper body. And that's kind of what led to some of the back issues later on in his career. It's like T-Mac early on was a little bit more slender, you know, was more of that downhill presence, had a little bit more explosiveness to his game, or a lot more explosiveness to his game, I should say. You know, T-Mac was an incredible athlete. Then started getting older, had the injuries piling up, and then he had, you know, all that muscle on his frame that he maybe wasn't used to, and started to slow down a little bit. That's where some of the back issues came in. So you got to be careful when you're an athlete like Jalen Green, who has all that bounce, all that explosion, to not, you know, not go overboard one way versus the other. Another great example to throw out as far as like adding too much mass too quickly, Clint Capela in 2018, 2019, right? Remember Clint, like in the 17-18 season, was really solid, really, like, you know, it stepped into the starting, you know, stepped into the, you know, second year as a starter, was looking really good, had replaced Dwight, all that. But he put on, I want to say it was like 10 pounds of muscle between like the 17-18 offseason and the 18-19 offseason. He came back and he was like just shredded, yoked out. Like he looked bigger. And he didn't have that bounce anymore. Like he didn't have the quick second jump. It looked like he was getting winded a little bit more in transition. So you have to be really careful as a professional athlete not to add too much weight too quickly to your frame. Otherwise, it might have some actually negative impact to your game overall, and not just, you know, the positive impact of, oh, suddenly he's bigger. Jalen talked about the fact that he was a football player first, which I thought was kind of cool. Didn't start taking basketball seriously until about ninth grade. He played a little running back, played wide receiver. He's talked about enjoying a rivalry with Anthony Edwards, basically since high school. They got close at USA Basketball, and Jalen talked about having a ton of respect for Anthony Edwards. And even later on in the show, Bill Simmons, you know, kind of pokes and prods at, like, is that like a potential rivalry, like down the line, like, you know, Ant, Jalen Green, like that's between those two guys, the two guard spot is kind of on lock for years to come at the NBA level for sure. When it came to, you know, discussing the, you know, the route that Jalen took to get to the NBA, obviously Jalen went the G League route, but Jalen talked about the fact that it came down to Memphis and Auburn before the G League Ignite came in with their offer. You know, so apparently, I mean, could have been with Memphis, could have been with Auburn. So those, I guess, were like the final two schools that Jalen had in mind that he could have gone to, I guess go with the college route instead of the G League Ignite. But hey, you know, he went the G League route. That's, you know, how he learned to become a pro early on, like on and off the court. They also offered school, offered classes, lessons. So he picked that route, and he got a little bit of money while doing it. So it kind of worked out. Jalen also talked about the, like, the distinction between like the super team era of the NBA as well as like homegrown talent. And Jalen mentions very specifically that he likes the homegrown stuff, the chemistry, everybody playing together, knowing their roles. You know, Bill Simmons kind of alluded to the current iteration of the Golden State Warriors with the fact that, you know, Steph, Clay, and Dre are all homegrown talent. Obviously, they had that super team dynamic in there for a little bit with Kevin Durant, but obviously you've got like the pre-KD Warriors, pre-KD Warriors that still won a title. You've got the post-KD Warriors that could be on their way to another title. Four titles in 8 years. It's impressive stuff, even though it's unfortunate to have to talk about it on a Rockets podcast. It is impressive stuff nonetheless. So, and then he also alluded to the Boston Celtics, the way that they've grown with, you know, Smart, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, like that core of guys, and how they've all kind of grown and come up together since about the, you know, 17-18 season. And Jaylen talked about that and was like, you know, very effusive in his praise of the fact that he likes that idea, like the chemistry, growing together, learning each other's tendencies, all that stuff. So hopefully Jaylen's not one to want to abandon ship anytime soon to go join another former, you know, another super team. If anything, he needs to help form a super team here in Houston. But I want to continue highlighting the points from this interview that he did with Bill Simmons, kind of adding some context behind some of the areas that he brought up. We're going to continue doing that after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks, because if you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA, then you need to check out the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times back on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store or Google Play. Prize Picks even offers mixed sports entries. So check them out. Go to Prize Picks. You know, you can check them out again, whichever app store you use, Google Play, App Store, it doesn't matter. And right now, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Listeners get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. All you have to do is use promo code NBA. That's an exclusive offer for all of our Locked On Rockets listeners. Sign up today, use code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making LOR your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, I will say, prefacing, today's episode was going to be the first of our in-depth draft profile preview series, looking at the top prospects in the draft before then we shift gears towards pick number 17. I had to kind of change it up a little bit. Obviously, things can get topical in the offseason. So I wanted to talk about the Jalen Green interview with Bill Simmons before, you know, it became old news. So we'll be doing the first of our draft profile series on Jabari Smith. That'll be tomorrow's episode. So be on the lookout for that one. But let's continue on here, kind of highlighting the points that Jalen Green brought up in his interview with Bill Simmons. I think the most exciting point that Jalen Green brought up was the fact that the Rockets have asked him for his thoughts on the third overall pick. And to me, the language behind what Jalen said on the third overall pick really stood out to me, because he said specifically, and I want to make sure I have the quote pulled up so I don't butcher it. When asked about the third overall pick by Bill Simmons, Jalen said, "I got asked my thoughts on somebody. They checked with me for sure. We got the third pick. There's three great players coming out." Like that, and the part that really stands out to me in the way that he said it, it could just be, you know, just the way, the word choice that he had. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but he specifically says, "I got asked my thoughts on somebody." Like he doesn't say, "I got to ask my thoughts like on all the top prospects. I got to ask my thoughts on, you know, the bigs," you know, it's, "I got asked my thoughts on somebody." So it sounds potentially like that was maybe a little bit of a slip in where the Rockets specifically have one guy in mind and they went to Jalen. They were like, "Hey, how do you feel about this guy?" Right? Like, let's like, not like, "How do you feel about the top guys? Who's your favorite? Who's not? You know, what do you know about all the top guys?" It was, "How do you feel about this guy?" Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I will say it is like really, I think that the takeaway from this should be the Rockets wouldn't be they wouldn't be asking Jalen Green his opinion on the number three overall pick if they weren't fairly confident that they were going to make a selection somewhere at the top of the draft, right? Like, you don't go ask your franchise cornerstone about, hey, like, what do you think about these top prospects? Or what do you think about this guy who we think is going to fall to number three, and then get his insight and then trade the pick, right? So I feel, and again, I felt this way ever since the Rockets landed in the top three, again, right at the cusp with pick number three, but they're going to make the pick. They're going to make a top pick somewhere in the top three. Maybe they trade up to one or two, and maybe that's a far-fetched scenario, pipe dream, you know, pie in the sky scenario, whatever. They're going to make a pick somewhere in that top three. And this just kind of like solidifies at least my opinion that they are going to make a selection somewhere in the top three, because they are reaching out and asking Jalen for his opinion on the top prospects. And again, this is a great opportunity for the Rockets to have a tier one prospect in back-to-back drafts at the start of a rebuild. It's absolutely huge. Jalen goes on to just talk about his, you know, experience living in Houston, what it's like. You know, he moved here, his family, his mother, his younger and older sisters are still back in Fresno, but he moved here with a couple of his guys close to him in his circle. He's got an apartment like 15 minutes away from Toyota Center. And he goes on to, he starts talking about the food in Houston, which, shout out, yes, the food in Houston is incredible. Look, I have lived here my whole life, and I've traveled other places. I've been other places, right? And there's amazing food, you know, in other places, right? I'm not trying to slam other places, but Houston being the melting pot of diverse cultures and ethnicities and just everything that we have at our fingertips here in Houston, you can travel to different parts of the city and get, you know, all sorts of different cultural cuisines, and your palate can really travel the world here in Houston. It's really absurd, the quality of food that Houston has. We need like the foodie bloggers and stuff out there in the world to put more respect on Houston, because this is absolutely a great city with some amazing flavors to be had. Jalen said specifically, the food is crazy. They got the best food out here. I swear, it's where you put the weight on for sure. They got all types of different food out here. I love it. So it shouldn't necessarily be too hard for Jalen Green to put on a little bit of weight, right? We don't quite want him on the Zion track of, like, you know, jambalaya and, you know, shrimp on bruschette and whatnot. But that said, the food here in Houston should help Jalen put on a little bit more weight. He continued to say he was super excited when he heard that he was getting drafted to Houston. He didn't care where he was going. He just wanted to be at the top. He's happy where he's at. He loves his situation. He goes on to talk about his goals for next season. And I think these goals are relatively attainable for Jalen Green. Honestly, he laid out three goals that he has, the first of which being to win more than 20 games, right? The Rockets have been the bottom team in the NBA in back-to-back seasons. Losing sucks for everybody. Like, losing is just awful. So the way that I see it is, this Rockets team is bound to be at least a little bit more competitive this next season. They're going to have more talent. They're going to be a more talented basketball team. It's about Steven Silas, you know, and him to, you know, press the right buttons to get the most out of this young team. I don't think beating 20 wins is a hard metric. I don't expect the Rockets to be the worst team in the association again this next season, even though if that stings a little bit with, Victor Wembanyama at the top of the draft, you know, and possibly missing out on the best opportunity to get him. That might sting a little bit, but at the same time, I know that losing, you know, and being the worst team three seasons in a row probably stings just as much, if not more. And if Jalen's ready to start winning, if this team is talented enough to start winning, let them start winning, right? If they can get to 30 wins, 35 wins, if they can push for a play-in spot and it happens as early as next season with this number three overall pick in their rookie year, let it happen. It means this team is talented enough to start the ascension towards relevancy again. So, wants to win more than 20 games. Love that first goal. I love that he made it a team goal first, right? It wasn't a personal goal. It wasn't like, he still got personal goals, but his first goal that he laid out was, I want the team, I want us to win more than 20 games, right? That stood out to me, that he, you know, Jalen Green, for being painted as, you know, a greedy, selfish player, empty stats, whatever, he's got a very team first mentality. And I absolutely adore that about Jalen Green and what he brings to the table, because, hey, number two overall pick, future franchise cornerstone, he absolutely could have a me mentality, and yet he doesn't. Anytime he's asked about, you know, what's going on, the mentality towards certain things, the way certain plays developed in the ends of games, he constantly rains praise on his teammates. He's got the utmost confidence in his teammates, and I love that about him. That confidence is infectious, right? It's the same level of like leadership and confidence that you saw out of guys. Like, I mean, if you go back and look at like the MJ doc, right? Obviously, like MJ was a little bit kind of insane in certain, you know, certain aspects of his leadership approach to his teammates. But at the same time, he was confident in his teammates, right? And he oozed and dripped confidence. And he kind of gave his teammates some of that confidence that he had to help bring them along. Like, hey, we're doing this together. We're in this together. I got y'all. Let's go. Cause I want y'all to be a part of this with me. Love that from Jalen Green. So, second goal on his list was wants to make an all-star game, wants to be an all-star next season. That might be probably the hardest of these three goals to attain, but at the same time, Jalen Green has like that air about him, that winning personality. He's, you know, very divisive, like on social media, in the sense that like a lot of people either love him, Houston fans, or a lot of people kind of hate him. Like he's kind of like that rookie that's like harboring a lot of hatred from other fan bases. So, you know, it could be that he has like enough of a narrative behind him if he's putting up the stats to make an all-star team next season. It would be exciting as all hell if he could do it in his sophomore campaign. And that leads into his final goal, which is to average 20 to 25 points per game next season, which I think is absolutely an attainable goal when you look at what his stats were this past season. And I want to make sure to have those pulled up because I don't think it's that much of a reach to expect him to be able to take that jump. I mean, this season, he averaged 17.3 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, you know, about 2 turnovers a game, shooting 14 attempts per night, about 7 from 3. So when you look at his season averages, like you can expect him to make a jump to 20 points a game, right? If he's averaging somewhere from like 17 to 20 shot attempts per game next season and keeps relatively the same efficiency that he had this year, or even better, if he keeps the efficiency that he had to end the season, there is no reason why he shouldn't absolutely knock it out of the park next year and average, say, like anywhere from 20 to 25 and like, you know, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, I think he'd easily make that number. And they go on to talk about the fact that if Jalen's averaging 23-5-5 or 25-5-5 next season, that's like a legitimate candidacy for an all-star appearance, depending on where the Rockets are at record-wise. It's tough out in the West. There's a lot of, you know, amazing guard play out West, but at the same time, you know, Jalen Green could absolutely make a case for himself to be on an all-star team as early as next season. So Jalen then did talk about a little bit the beef about, you know, Bill Simmons saying F Jalen Green on his recent podcast episode. Jalen said when he saw that, he was like, damn, I don't know him. What did I do to him? I don't know where this is coming from. Started, you know, kind of, they basically buried the hatchet really quick. They didn't spend too much time talking about it. Jalen basically said that he sees a lot of that on social media. He brushes it off. He's not on social media during the regular season at all. He basically like logged off of like Instagram, Twitter, like during the regular season. Just to kind of completely get away from that. He's talked about the fact that he's not on Twitter too much. He's on it a little bit. He's mostly just on Instagram. And yeah, I mean, they didn't really spend too much time talking about it. I wish that Simmons would have given Jalen an opportunity to, you know, kind of counteract his point about the all-rookie first team nomination. Not that it matters. Jalen Green made it to all-rookie first team. So doesn't matter that Bill Simmons wanted Herb Jones over Jalen Green, but I would have liked to hear an argument from Jalen, like to actually get into the nitty gritty of like, yo, why did you want Herb Jones over me? Right? Like what, you know, cause Simmons got a chance to defend his standpoint on it in the podcast, but didn't give Jalen a chance to kind of fire back and be like, well, like you're wrong for these reasons. And not that I would have expected Jalen to like show up with like bullet points as to why Bill Simmons was wrong, but I just wish Simmons would have given Jalen that opportunity on the podcast to say like, well, I think you're wrong because I did this, this, and this. And like, I, you know, all of this. So at the end of the day, I do want to give credit to Bill Simmons for reaching out to Jalen, you know, putting him on the podcast, giving them an opportunity to discuss, you know, talk a little hoops. It was a very solid interview. And again, I'm not going to take anything away from what Bill Simmons has accomplished as a media personality, the empire that he's grown, what he's done with the Ringer, all of that. It's incredible, right? I'm an aspiring media, you know, person myself. So from that standpoint, I have a lot of respect for Bill Simmons. I also think he's an idiot for a lot of different reasons. And so that said, this doesn't change my opinion of what he originally said about Jalen Green. The, you know, slapdash comment about, you know, offhand, off the cuff, you know, F Jalen Green. I don't care if it was said in a joking manner, whatever. I still think it was unprofessional. At the end of the day, that's what it was. It was unprofessional. Somebody in his position shouldn't have made that comment. That said, It's a good interview with Jalen Green. Had a lot of nuggets of interesting information in there. So with that, that's going to end our discussion on what Jalen Green said with Bill Simmons on the BS podcast, the different points that got brought up. Coming up in our final segment here, we'll talk a little bit about Usman Garuba and Bruno Fernando, just kind of a quick recap of their seasons, expectations for them moving forward. Coming up here in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's basically impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating question, like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then just it's too much, right? You can save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same parts from a chain store or car dealership? They've got everything you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even brand new carpet. And the prices are always reliably low for every single customer. This is a family business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers online for over 20 years. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And this is the really important part. When you go to check out, when you hit the little shopping cart icon, you go to check out, be sure to write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making LOR your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On NBA podcast, from the first jump of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the NBA Finals. Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Always a ton of fun. I host the Monday show. Be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Now, let's talk a little here to wrap up the show. Bruno Fernando and Usman Garuba. And of these two guys, I knew that I was going to package these two guys together when doing their Rockets reviews, if only because there's not a ton to unpack here with these two. I think it's pretty straightforward in the sense that the Rockets, I'll start with Usman Garuba. First off, it's unfortunate that Uzi did not, which is still the greatest nickname ever. It's unfortunate that Garuba didn't really get that much of an opportunity to shine this season. I never expected him to be a mainstay part of the Rockets rotation, even when you looked at the way the roster was constructed from the jump, with a veteran center in Daniel Tice, Christian Wood, operating kind of in that 4-5 role, and then Alper and Şengün still ahead of Usman Garuba in the pecking order. Usman was fourth on the center depth chart, essentially, right? Maybe third if you look at Tice and then Şengün as the 1-2 at the center spot, until the Rockets abandoned the first iteration of the double big lineup. But, he just dealt with a lot of adversity his rookie year. Wasn't getting, even garbage time early on in the season, which is just unfortunate. And then had the wrist injury, was sidelined for a significant portion of time because of that. Spent a stint with RGV alongside Josh Christopher. So all that to say that, this first season for Usman Garuba, kind of a wash, right? There's a reason that he's, in Houston getting a lot of work in right now. There's a lot of optimism, a lot of, high expectations for him for this next season. And the fact that he wants to participate in Summer League, right? He told us during his exit interview that he's going to be a part of Summer League. And so I think the biggest thing for him is just he needs an opportunity to get out there on the floor somewhere, in the, 8 to 12 minutes a night, nothing crazy, because at the end of the day, his offensive production is still a gigantic question mark, right? He's shown some flashes where he can be on the short roll as that 4-5 big and make the right reads, make the right passes to the next man, but he's not really an above the rim presence, rolling towards the rim. He doesn't really have a polished game finishing around the rim. There's a lot of question marks about his offensive repertoire, but the only way we're going to be able to get a glimpse at that is if we actually see him getting some real-time game reps and playing alongside guys who can be legitimate creators for him, where he can maybe get some of those easy opportunities to get some, some cutting towards the basket, or get some, some putback opportunities at the rim, some second chance points, that kind of thing. Because we know what he brings to the table defensively. Usman Garuba is going to be a borderline all-NBA caliber defender at some point in his NBA career. That I am certain of. He has all the tools and the instincts to make that happen. It's just about whether or not he's going to be such a negative on the offensive end, right? That you can actually afford to have him out there and soaking up one of those positions, and essentially, at times maybe even playing a little bit of 4-on-5 offensively, just depending on how rough his offensive game looks. And maybe I'm downselling Garuba here a little bit, but at the end of the day, He has to develop that three ball. He has to get it to a place where it's consistent. The form has looked a little off at times. Hasn't been great to see, you know, hasn't been great to look at. So there's a lot of a lot riding on this offseason to see, you know, how much work he can put in to get to a place where the coaching staff feels confident in his offensive abilities to try and let his defensive prowess shine alongside guys like Alperen Şengün or a Paolo Banchero or a Chet Holmgren or a Christian Wood if he's still in a Rockets jersey next season, all of that. So a lot of different things that Usman Garuba has to work on this offseason, but I do expect right now, I do expect him to be a part of the Rockets rotation next season. I don't expect him to be buried on the end of the bench. I don't expect him to be like sent down to RGV again. I think they're incredibly high on what he brings to the table. And I think a good mentality to have about this, shout out to J-Dub on Twitter, but I think that a good mentality to have about Usman Garuba is that the Rockets are effectively walking away with another first round draft pick this year, right? Because his rookie season was kind of a wash. So treat Usman Garuba as if the Rockets have another first round draft pick this season that they're walking into the year with, somebody to be really excited about that you can kind of really get a first chance look at, since we never really got a true in-depth look at what he could bring to the table. Now, switching gears here to Bruno Fernando. I do think that there might be something there with Fernando. I think that when you see the production that he was able to put up, I mean, he's got some legitimate size, and I think his offensive game is quite a bit more polished than what I was overall expecting when the Rockets picked him up by way of the Boston Celtics in the Dennis Schroeder, Daniel Theis trade. Honestly, he was kind of just a throw-in for the Celtics to match bodies, but the Rockets may have gotten a guy that could be like a piece that they maybe want to keep at the end of the bench, potentially like have somebody hanging around who could have some potential. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, there's going to be a roster squish at some point, right? Because if they don't trade John Wall, then you've only got 14 roster slots to choose from. And the Rockets can't effectively allocate, let's say this, Christian Wood, Alperen Şengün, top three pick, Bruno Fernando, Usman Garuba. Like, that's five bigs right there. Five bigs across 14 roster spots. You can't realistically expect the Rockets to have that many bigs, that many like four or fives. And that's not even counting the fact that like KJ Martin's kind of like in that mold. Jayshon Tate was playing the four last season. Like, although those guys are more like obviously the wing archetype on a traditional team if they're not playing small ball. But eventually you just run out of roster spots. And even though Bruno Fernando showed like some flashes and some promise, the Rockets just may not be in that position because of the roster squish that they're under to hold on to him, even though he showed some flashes of talent. Again, I'd love for them to be able to maybe hold on to him and have him just at the end of the bench, maybe have, you know, allocate some minutes here and there. But between the top three pick that they bring in, between that, Alperen Şengün, and Usman Garuba, like those are the three guys that I really want to see get the majority of minutes at the four or five spot next season for the Rockets. I am still kind of hell-bent on the idea of the Rockets moving on from Christian Wood at this point, because I don't want to see Christian Wood, you know, getting 30, 36 minutes a night and absorbing all the shot attempts from, you know, Alperen Şengün, from the number three overall pick, from Jalen Green, from Kevin Porter Jr. And I have my reservations about Christian Wood being able to accept a lesser role alongside some of these guys because he's the more established player, because he's arguably one of the more talented players on the roster. And I just don't know if he has the mentality to be able to accept a lesser role. So all that said, there's already so many guys that would be ahead of Bruno Fernando in the pecking order. It probably doesn't make sense for the Rockets to hold on to him. I'd be shocked if he's like still a part of the team this next season, either cut, waived, traded, moved on from, not re-signed. Like, you know, it's unfortunate because of the talent that he did showcase at times, especially that first game where the Rockets lost against the Dallas Mavericks. But we had the Bruno Fernando show, if you will, where he exploded, had the, you know, all the points scored in the fourth quarter, went 8 for 8 from the floor, 16 points, 11 rebounds. That was the arrival, if you will, of Bruno Fernando at the NBA level. And that's not even including the fact that we haven't seen him, you know, release the three ball, which when you watch him doing during his warmups in Toyota Center, he has a three ball. Like, he's got that in his game. He can be like a spaced out, like pick and pop type five as well. He doesn't just have the inside game to work with. So at the end of the day with Bruno Fernando, I don't think he's going to be a long-term piece of the Rockets. Maybe they decide to hold on to him if they can afford the roster spot to allocate to a guy who could potentially have a role further down the line. But they've got so many question marks in that front court already at the 4 and 5 positions. I think it's going to be really, really difficult to allocate yet another spot to a guy who might be like on the fringe, like, oh, maybe we have something here, because that maybe we have something here is kind of already going to Usman Garuba, I think. Like, he's already kind of going to be the lowest on the depth chart. And even then, the Rockets should be actively working to get him minutes in the rotation this next season so that they can actually see what they have with him. And this doesn't even count the fact that the Rockets have that number 17 overall pick, and they could bring in yet another big, right? If they don't bring in a wing, somebody who's going to absorb minutes at, you know, at the 3 spot, they might bring in another, you know, 4 or 5 combo type guy at the 17th overall pick. So there's a lot of question marks about what the Rockets are going to do, how their roster is going to look, and what that looks like for a guy like Bruno Fernando next season as to whether or not the Rockets decide to bring him back in the fold or move on from him. But with that, that's going to wrap up today's show. Let me know how you feel about the Jalen Green interview with Bill Simmons, about his comments, about some of the topics that he covered on the BS podcast. Let me know in the comments on our YouTube page. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast: Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, check us out on YouTube. Again, go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Also, how do you feel about Usman Garuba and Bruno Fernando, those two guys moving forward for the Houston Rockets? Let me know in the comments section. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.